Hi, my name is Brian Higbee, and I would like to welcome you to the City Church Podcast. It is our hope that this podcast will not only bless you, but cause the kingdom of God to grow within you and the world around you. Come on, let's listen in. So I want to talk this morning about what we're doing here. Most of us, well, let me ask, how many here have been going to church the biggest part of your life, maybe as a child, maybe you quit going for a little while, but then you started going again, but pretty much all your life? Let me see your hands. You've been going to, so a big number of us. I think sometimes when we do something for a long time, it's important to understand why we're doing what we do. A good friend of mine, a brother in the Lord, Ron Culver. How many know Ron Culver? Bang your hands together. Yeah, he's been at our gatherings and is just a great brother. Ron, he asked me this. He called me up out of the blue and said, "Brother," he said, I've been in pursuit of power and authority. It's been bothersome to me that here we are, the New Testament church, and we have less power than what they had in the early church. Right after Jesus ascended and the church formed, they walked in great amounts of power and authority. Everyone say power and authority. The problem was, or is, that we don't seem to walk in that same power and authority, and that is bothersome. And you know, it's bothersome to me. It's part of my pursuit in the kingdom of God. I'm not after power and authority, but I recognize that in pursuit of the kingdom, there should be power and authority. Are you with me? I mean, we should see miracles more than we don't, right? We should see the goodness of God in the land of the living. If you believe that, bang your hands together. If you believe we should see an increase in that, bang your hands even harder. All right. So in reading the scripture actually this morning, a scripture kind of jumped out at me. It's 2 Chronicles 16, and it's going to be 1 through 10. And it's kind of a snapshot. This is Old Testament, but it's kind of a snapshot of part of what we're talking about. So the king of Judah and Israel are now split. They're the people of God, but they're two separate kingdoms. The reason they were two separate kingdoms, David brought them together as one kingdom. Solomon had them as, David's son, had them as one kingdom. But Rehoboam, Solomon's son, because of the garbage that Solomon allowed in his family, with all these wives and concubines and all that foolishness, his son did not know God the way that his grandfather David knew God. And because of that, he didn't lean into the wisdom of God when it came to a critical time in the history of Israel, Judah. And because of that, the kingdom split. And over here is Judah, and over here is Israel. And from to a large extent, the kings of Judah tended to follow God a bit more than the kings of Israel. The kings of Israel fell very quickly into idol worship and so on, right? Are you with me? Okay. So Asa is the king of Judah. Baasha is the king of Israel. So that's where we're at. In the 36th year of Asa's reign, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and fortified Ramah in order to prevent anyone from going or coming into Asa, king of Judah. Now, then Asa brought out silver and gold from the treasuries of the house of the Lord in the king's house and sent them to Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, who lived in Damascus, saying, "Let there be a treaty between you and me, as between my father and your father. Behold, I've sent you silver and gold. Go break the treaty with Baasha, king of Israel, so that he will withdraw from me." So Ben-Hadad listened to King Asa, sent the commanders of his armies against the cities of Israel, and they conquered Ejon, Dan, Abel, Maim, and all the store cities of Naphtali. When Baasha heard of it, he ceased fortifying Ramah and stopped his work. Then King Asa brought all Judah And they carried away the stones of Ramah and its timbers with which Baasha had been building. And with them he fortified Geba and Mizpah. Now, here's what I want you to see. So you have Judah and Israel. Asa is king over Judah. Baasha is king over Israel. Israel is wanting to invade and come against Judah. But what's interesting is that Baasha goes to a city named Ramah. Now, that's important to understand. Ramah is also the Old Testament word for wind or breathed word or prophetic word. So your enemy will always come against the prophetic word that is near you. Ramah was only about 8 miles north of Jerusalem. And your enemy will not attack you directly. The first thing he'll go after is what God has been speaking over your life. Because the enemy knows that if he can take out the living word of God from your life, he can take you out. Come on, somebody. And so what does Asa do? Asa, he contacts a man by the name of Ben-Hadad, the king of Damascus, the king of Aram, and he said, hey, listen, here's money that we took from the Lord's house, and we're going to give it to you, and you come and you break your treaty with Baasha, and if you break your treaty with Baasha, that means you'll start attacking Baasha in some of his lands. Baasha will hear about it, withdraw from Ramah, and then we'll be free from Baasha invading Jerusalem, right? Sounds logical. Sounds like a good idea, and it worked exactly that way. But here's the problem. See, what seems to be apparently right may have long-term consequences that will ultimately lead to destruction. It seemed like a good idea. But how many of you know a good idea is not a God idea? You understand? So let's go on. Verse 7. At that time, Hanani, the seer, the prophet, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you have relied... The word relied is the word to lean on. Come here, Kevin. Everybody say, lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. Now, how many of you know that we can either lean on or stand in our own understanding, or we can lean on something else, right? Now, what's interesting is I'm much stronger if I lean on Kevin. Are you with me?
Yes.
It takes a certain amount of effort to knock me down, right? But if I'm beside Kevin, how many of you know it takes much more effort to knock me down?
Yes.
The greater the one that I stand with, the more difficult it comes to knock me down.
Yes.
And it would only make sense to stand or lean on the one who is the greatest to become the strongest. The problem is, and God said this to us, he said, look, lean not on your own understanding. Don't stand alone. Lean on the greatest one you can lean on. Now, sometimes that's Facebook for us. And I can promise you that Facebook isn't very strong. As a matter of fact, the relationships you have on Facebook, I know this is going to be tough for someone, they're not real. Oh, you don't understand, Pastor. I mean, I've been dating someone on Facebook. Where you going, man? You don't want me to lean on you anymore?
Lean on.
Oh, okay, all right. See, there are those who want to walk away when we're trying to lean on them, all right? All right, so listen, but we want to lean on the one. Now, how many of you know that Kevin's a strong man? You know that to be true, right? And to lean on him is good. But how many of you know that there is one even stronger than Kevin that I can lean on? Amen. Give Kevin some praise here. Go ahead. You can be seated. No, you were already started down. Wow. Okay. All right. Now look. So it says that because you have relied or leaned on the king of Aram. How many of you know that the king of Aaron was not the greatest one that Judah could have leaned on? Are you with me? Asa could have leaned on the Lord, but because he didn't lean on the Lord, he got something less than what he could have had. Now, he got out of his pickle. He got Israel away from Judah. However, he found that later on, this wasn't going to benefit him, and he's going to be hurt in the long run. Look, as Christians, as believers, as disciples of Jesus, as part of the body of Christ, the greatest one we can lean on is God, and that's precisely who he wants us to lean on. And we lean on anything else but God, it's only going to have temporary results. Sometimes those results may be good, but they're temporary, when we could have eternal results. Are you with me? Does this make sense? Okay. So then Hanani rebukes Asa, and he said, look, because you didn't lean or rely on God, instead you relied on the king of Aram, therefore the army of the king of Aram has escaped out of your hand. It was actually God's intention for Aram to serve Judah instead of the other way around. But instead, it seemed right in Asa's eyes to take out of the treasury or to take from what was God's alone and give it to another. Listen to me. I see that being done on Facebook a lot. People take the thoughts that they only should be giving to God and will share them on Facebook. Yes. Yes. And can I promise you, you have no clue who is on the other end typing that response. I see people all the time saying, hey man, I need prayer for such and such. And that's not a bad request. It wasn't bad for Asa to not want Israel to be invading Jerusalem. That was a good desire. It's a good desire to want people to pray for you. The problem is you're going to the wrong source. Yes. If you do that on Facebook, listen, you may get prayers that you don't want prayed over you.
Right.
You're opening yourself up spiritually to people that you don't know who they are and don't know what their motive is. You realize there can be a dark source on Facebook. You understand that, right?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, enough said about that. That was my Facebook rant right now, okay. It says in Proverbs 3, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Say, in all my ways, in all my ways, in all my ways. Do you acknowledge him in all your ways? Do you? Listen, the other day, I did something in business. I went out and was doing some marketing, and because I still do that for the one business that I own, and I wasn't having any success. And about halfway through the day, Holy Spirit said to me, say, are you done yet? And I said, no, I'm only halfway through. He said, how's your results going? And I said, not so good. And I said, well, but you already knew that, didn't you? He said, did you ask me if you should go today? I said, but Lord, I saw there was a need. He said, yes, I understand that, but you leaned on your own understanding, and you spent a day, by the time it was done, you spent a day and didn't get much accomplished at all, rather than leaning on me, and you would have been much stronger. It says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and do not be wise. Young people, please hear me on this. Every young person, I want you to look at me right now. If you're between the ages of say, 12 and 25, no, let's make it 30. I want you to just stare at me right now. Everyone look at me. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Instead, learn to lean into the... This is very hard for a young person because young people tend to walk in a whole lot of pride. Like, you're being told that you are at the center of your universe. And can I say this? You're the apple of God's eye, but he's got orchards full of apples who his eyes are on as well. And he's put people in charge of you that are very, very wise. And you need to listen and automatically assume, young people, you're listening to me, automatically assume you're wrong. See, that's what humility can do. Humility can say, I'm already assuming that if my parents telling me something different than what I'm thinking right now, I'm the one that's wrong. I'm the one that needs to change. That's what humility does. See, when I went and I talked to my spiritual father, Jack Taylor, and if my opinion differed from his, I was wise enough to be humble and say to Papa Jack, listen, I know I'm wrong here. I just don't know where I'm wrong. Help me learn where I'm wrong. That it's okay to have a different opinion. It's okay to have a different way of thinking. It's not okay to be full of yourself and to be full of pride and say to your parent, well, you don't understand what's going on. Listen to me. We all been there. I know it's unfathomable to you, but we were kids just like you. We thought just like you did, and we had to grow up just like you're going to have to. And it's very difficult to tell a teenager that you have to grow up. But I'm still growing up. I'm 57 years old, and I'm still learning what I don't know. But I can do that because I stay humble. I'm very teachable. I learn much if I can humble myself and put myself in the position of learning from the Lord, not leaning on my own understanding, but leaning on him and leaning on those who he's placed in my life, which we call those parents. Are you with me? Parents either say amen or oh my.
Amen.
All right. That was a little plug there for parents. You can send an offering in to PastorBrian.com. No, I'm kidding. Now, listen, I'm telling you, if I would have learned this sooner, I would know so much more now. I just got so full of myself for a season. But if I can humble myself, it's a whole lot easier than me having to be humbled. Because it's not fun when you have to be humbled. Am I right, Rob? You've been humbled before, right? Yeah, and it's not fun, is it? You had to learn that, you know, if you're going to be dumb, you got to be tough. Right? All right. All right. So here's what we got so far. So far, we have that God wants us to walk in authority and power. Asa is an example of someone who seemed to walk in authority and power, but went to the wrong source for his power. He went to someone else to get his power. He went to Ben-Hadad instead of going to the Lord. All right? We're not to lean on our own understanding. Now, as I talked to Ron Culver, he said, you know, where is the power and authority of the church? And one of the things the Lord said to me was very clearly, you're not to pursue authority and power. You're to pursue responsibility in the kingdom, and as your responsibility increases, the need for power and authority becomes greater, and I'll give it to you. In other words, you have to be positioned correctly to receive authority and power. The problem is we want to keep doing the same things with the same responsibility we had, and we want authority. We want the ability to have all of this power, but we don't necessarily want the responsibility of bringing about change on the earth. We just want to change our own little kingdom. Well, you don't need power and authority to change your kingdom. It's already yours. But when you try to tackle something much, much, much bigger than you, that's when you need authority and power. So when you step into a position that you need authority and power, that's when God gives you that. Are you with me? Jesus was taking on the sin of the world. You don't get much more responsible than that. That's why he walked in so much power and authority. That's why, he took on all of sin and death. So he said, all power and authority has been given to me. Why? Because he took on all responsibility for all mankind. To the extent you take on responsibility is the extent that you walk in power and authority. Are you with me? And I said to the Lord, I was kind of whining to God. Any of you ever do that? Yeah, you ever whine to God? You know, look, as long as it's you and God, you're safe. But I'm saying, God, you know, look, I don't always feel as passionate about praying and spending time with you as I know I should. And I don't get it. Now, when I'm in a pickle, when I'm having difficulty, when, you know, the bank book's starting to scream at me a little bit, or, you know, when things aren't going well between Janice and I, or I'm having a problem with one of my kids, or we're having a problem here at the church, or something like that, and then I'm like, oh, God, God, help me. I need you so much. Oh, God, whatever you say, I'll do. You know, we make all these kind of like, because why? There's an urgency and an importance that's on me right at that moment. Are you with me? Yeah. But, you know, when things are going great, everything's smooth, everyone's happy, and, you know, where's the urgency? Where's the importance? And it bothered me. Because he's still God, and I still need him every moment of it. I need him for my next breath. I need him more than I need my next drink of water. I need him, but I don't feel that. Are you with me? Why? I said that to the Lord. Why? I don't like this. I don't like this about myself. He said, well, let me ask you something. He said, when you're feeling like all urgent and important and all that, why do you feel that? I said, well, because I got these problems that are bigger than me. He said, okay. He says, so when you have problems in your life bigger than you, then you're like, oh, like, God, I need you, I need you, I need you. When you don't have those kind of problems, you still say it, but you don't feel it as much. And I said, yes, exactly. He said, I understand. Really? Yeah. He said, but here's what you're missing. He said, you may not have problems, but what about your neighbor? Yeah. Why don't you feel the urgency? What about the people in your church? What about your kids? What about your wife? So when nothing's going wrong with you, you don't feel that sense of urgency or importance, and that's because you haven't taken responsibility for a greater portion than you. Okay, that hurt a little bit. That's called getting a spanking from the Lord, right? He says, if you want greater power and authority, take on more responsibility. Be responsible for what Tiffany's under, for Jim, for Edwin. Like, he's struggling with some physical stuff. I should have the same sense of urgency and importance for what he's struggling with because he's a son in the Lord. Yes. And I should be having that, oh God, oh God, oh God, I need you. Because when you do that, that's when he meets you in that authority and power. Yes. When you go to tackle things bigger than you, look, and I get it, guys. I do get it. It just seems like it's hard enough tackling life. And you get a little break, a little reprieve, a little breath. You're saying, Pastor, we're to take on more? It's okay to get a reprieve, but just don't live in that. Yes. When you get the break, once you're rested, then step up and say, Lord, what else? Yeah. Who do you need me to intercede? Who do you need me to stand in the gap? Who do you need me to take on? Yeah. What do you need me to take on? Yeah. And I promise you, you step up like that, he'll give you something. But listen, just hear my heart on this. If he gives it to you, it's going to be bigger than you because it's from him. And if it's bigger than you, it's going to cause you, you'll have to rely on him. It positions you, hear me now, it positions you to receive from God because it's bigger than you. You see, you say, well, how do I know what it is? Well, let me ask you, what's just getting under your skin recently? That might be an indicator of what he wants you to take hold of. instead of peeing and moaning and complaining and getting on Facebook and whining on Facebook about it, maybe he wants you to stand in the gap and to hear from heaven and release what God says on the earth. And maybe he'll give you the power and authority necessary to change that. Because complaining never got anything done except create arguments in the heavenlies against when you try to step up. Listen, you can't bless, you can't bring the kingdom against what you're cursing. Hello. Friends of mine the other day were telling me about a situation with one of their neighbors that took place. And one of their neighbors did something that was really just snotty. You know what I'm talking about? And they're like, and then we're going to do this to them. And I kind of let him talk for a while, and then finally I said to him, yeah, but can I suggest something else? Well, sure. Well, you're going to have to forgive them. It's like I slapped them both. What? Well, it's not that we're really, like, we're not trying to shoot at them or anything. We're just, you know, I said, no, look, you got to forgive them. Because when you hold unforgiveness towards someone like that because of the snotty thing they did against you, it's like you drinking poison and expecting them to die. That's what unforgiveness does. So you got to forgive. And you got to forgive, not for their sake, but for yours. Because here's what you do when you forgive. You're actually taking that off your plate and putting it on God's. And how many of you know God can handle that a whole lot better than you? He can deal with judging an unjust situation way better than you. But if you forgive them and start loving on them, it's like heaping coals on their head. Now, listen, that analogy of heaping coals on their head is not like taking a fire and pouring on them and burning them up. Actually, what heaping coals on someone's head means, look, you didn't have Bic lighters back in the day, right? And so you couldn't just start a fire with a Bic lighter or with a pack of matches. They didn't have them. It was hard to start fires when you had no fire. So what they would do, they would always keep fires burning. And if your fire went out, you could go to your neighbor, and you would carry this metal bowl on your head with a cushion, and you would get some of their fire, their coals, their red coals from their fire, and put it in your pot and carry it on your head, take it back to your house, and then you could take the red coals, put in your fire, and start a fire. So you were heaping coals on someone's head. In other words, you were blessing them. You say, wait, but they did me wrong. That's the way of the kingdom. Because what you bless, you can have authority over. What you curse, you can have no authority over. You want power and authority? Forgive and bless. Stop cursing the other political party. Why don't you bless them? You have to be positioned correctly to receive power and authority. Help me, Holy Spirit. Let me give you just a practical example. So a man wants to have power and authority in a city. He runs for mayor. He's elected as mayor, but before he takes office, he moves to another country. Because he's living in another country, he is not positioned correctly to walk. He has everything available. All power and authority has been given to him. That's what Jesus said about us, right? He said, all power and authority has been given to me. Now, therefore, you, because I am the head, you are my body. All authority and power has been given to me. Now you go and make disciples of all the nations, teaching them everything that I've commanded you, baptizing them, bringing them into everything of God. And that's the restoration of the kingdom. Are you with me? Yeah. Now, so you have a mayor that's living in another country. He's gone through the process of getting elected. Everything is in alignment, but he's positioned incorrectly. He can't walk in power and authority in that city. Are you with me? I'll give you another example. It's like a professional football team. A professional football team hires a quarterback, pays him $25 million. That's pretty usual anymore for a quarterback, am I right? And so pays him $25 million, but the quarterback never comes to a practice and never comes to a game. Well, that would be simple. It's just craziness that that would take place. Why would you pay someone that huge price if they're not going to show up to the practice, they're not going to show up to the game? Are you going to continue to pay them? No, of course you won't. They're in breach of contract because they're not positioned correctly. I say the same things of a lot of Christians. Jesus paid the ultimate price for them, saw their sins completely forgiven, gave them a brand new life, but they don't show up to practice. What's practice? This is practice. A lot of people think this is the game. It's not. Look, this isn't functioning in the kingdom. This is getting ready to function in the kingdom. This is practice so you can go out there into the real game. Are you with me? Does this make sense? The whole idea of gathering us together is for the equipping of the saints, for the works of ministry, so we can bring about the complete return of the kingdom of God on the earth. Are you with me? So you're coming here to be equipped. I gave Kevin instruction this morning. I said, listen, in worship, give more instruction. Why? Because look, we're all coming here from different starting places. We're all coming. We're heading in the same place. It's like a wagon wheel, right? And we're all heading toward the hub, but we're all coming from different places on the rim. And maybe where I'm starting from is different than where you're starting from. And maybe you don't quite know or understand the same thing that I do, and vice versa. And so we have to be more instructive here. I recognize that. That's one of the things that God was speaking of. And he said to me, he said, son, I want you to see, let me just tell you what he said to me. He said to me, son, he said, you don't even check with me when the practices are the game time. And he was speaking to the whole body of Christ. Every now and then, Christians wander into practice or by manner of personal need come to practice, but as soon as your personal needs are met, then we, the Godhead, are ghosted. Do you realize that Christians ghost God? Everybody know what ghosted means, right? Don't call, don't write, don't get back to them, don't answer his text. You with me? I said to the Father, I said, look, I knew something was missing, but I didn't know what. See, it's not that what we've done up until now has been bad. It's been very, very good. God's very pleased with you and with where we are as a body. But it's not good for tomorrow. Because what he wants us to walk in tomorrow is greater than what he wanted us to walk in today. And for us to walk in tomorrow, what we have for tomorrow, we have to become what he needs us to be for tomorrow. That means I have to be responsible enough to grow personally. I have to. I have to take personal responsibility over my life. And I have to take personal responsibility over the body. When Kevin is up here leading worship, he's not just a singer. When the team, when Bailey and Kevin are up here, they're not just performing. They're leading you to minister before the throne of God. And so I want you all to listen to me. Everyone, eyes on me for a moment. We only worship for about 20 or 30 minutes. Open your heart. I know it may be uncomfortable for you, but but I'm giving you instruction that's going to be beneficial to you. So don't lean on your own understanding concerning this. Listen to a spiritual father who's looking at kids and saying, listen, learn to worship. Learn to become very intimate with God. It's in the intimacy with God that you'll see the little things you would have missed if you're standing outside the house. Are you with me? I catch little communications from Janice by watching her closely. She oftentimes communicates with expression. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. I mean, like, she'll do this sometimes. Now, what does that mean? I'm afraid to ask sometimes. But I'm just dumb enough that I'm going to ask anyway. I said, well, what's that mean? What? That thing you just, that thing. I just raised my eyebrows. No. You meant something by, well, okay. She would rather me know her well enough that I would know what those things meant. And as we grow older together, we do know what those things mean a little more. But listen, as you're intimate with God, sometimes it's just a little shift in his eyes. I remember in meetings with Papa Jack, we'd have other sons around, and I would always sit as close as I could to him because I want to catch those little, I want to hear those little, no one else heard him in the room, but I heard it, and I knew what that meant. Oh, son, you got much to learn. Or that little, ooh. I knew what that meant. And someone was saying something needs to be corrected. And I caught the little turn of his head, or the little when his mouth just turned up just a little bit that said, he's pleased. See, he didn't say that. But you got to be really close to notice it. And that's the way it is with the Lord. You're going to miss that stuff if you don't learn to get closer to the Lord. And listen, he's good. He smells good. He sounds good. I'm telling you, when you're in the presence of the Lord, it even tastes good. We all want greater power and authority. But the key to power and authority is positioning yourself correctly. Yes. To lean not on our own understanding, but to lean into him. Yes. Next week, I think, I'm going to give you the other half of this message. It's the reason I wore a football jersey today. Because it's a metaphor about football. Ladies, indulge me. You say, well, I don't like football. Yeah, well, I don't like makeup. But I had to hear a message on makeup one time. And guess what? My life was blessed because of it. I did not go putting eyeshadow on. Are you with me? Stand up as we close. Young people, I want you to look at me. You're between the ages of 12 and 30 right now. I want you to look at me. Don't worry, I'll get to the ladies and the men soon, but 12 and 30, everyone in between, look at me. Y'all looking at me? I'm looking. Humble yourself. Be teachable. And you'll become the greatest version of you you can become. If you resist it, and you can. God's not going to kill you over it. At least I don't think he will. But if you resist it, you're resisting the best version of you. You don't know what the best version of you is. Only he does. And it's much greater than you can imagine. Ladies, don't lean on your own understanding. Lean into him. The greatest version of you is found there. Men, look at me. Stop this garbage. Men, stop interrupting the men, ladies. My daughter back there yakking. That's right, I'm calling her out. Now listen, now don't look at her, look at me. Men, stop this stuff. You ain't near as tough as you think. But I can promise you this, you're a whole lot stronger when you're leaning into him. There ain't a child around that I think is strong when they're going, no! I'm not going to pay attention to you, no! That's not a strong child. You know what a strong child is? Daddy, teach me. Show me. I want to be like you, Dad. Are you with me? So let's all just close our eyes right now. Let's all just lift our hands up to the Lord. Say, Father, help me to not lean on my own understanding, but to lean into you. And when I lean into you, I am positioning myself for the greatest measure of power and authority that I could walk in. Help me this week to become more like you. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, Father, bless them and keep them. Make your face to shine on them. Lift up your countenance on them now and give them your peace and your grace. Lord, I pray that we become a house just worshiping wonders. That our intimacy with you becomes so intense. That our leaning into you becomes so perfect. That the devil has a hard time separating between me and my God. So, Father, thank you for the body of Christ. And what you're leading us into, in Jesus' mighty name. And all the people of God said, amen. City Church, go and be blessed. I'll see you next week.
Thanks so much for listening to the City Church podcast. Listen, if you want to listen to more episodes, you can reach us at www.citychurch.us. And remember that this podcast is listener supported. And so if you would like to donate, go to the City Church website and click on I Give at City Church. Can find a easy way to give online. Again, this is Brian Higby. I would like to thank you so much for listening to our podcast. I hope you have an amazing and blessed week.